Hey guys, thank you for click and play. Thank you for using that index finger or that fat thumb to click play. We are on episode 40, and 40 is going to be question and answer. And I just want to say, you know, I'm getting death threats on the fat thumb and the index finger. Just kidding. Just kidding. I will continue saying that each episode, so get used to it. All right, so we're on episode 40. My name is Courtney Lindsay, and you guys can always find us at Yellow Ribbon Ventures LLC, on Facebook, Instagram. You can go on the website, www.yellowribbonventures.com. And again, my name is Courtney Lindsay, and today on episode 40, we're going to talk question and answer. And I just want to say right off the back on episode 40, welcome to the new guys that have subscribed to this podcast. Welcome, and hopefully you guys are going through all the episodes. And when you get all the way to this episode, you will finally hear welcome. And one of the welcomes I want to do right off the back is Dominique Wade. Welcome to the podcast, and everybody. Welcome Dominique Wade to the podcast, and hopefully, you know, I can answer your questions for you and you can be on your way and going out and doing great things. Cause one of the things in life is to be a connector, be that person that connects others. That role is a very, big role because you are not a specialty. You're a connector. You put people together, and when you do that, you get paid for it. And one of them would be wholesale. So today we're going to talk about question and answer. And the question I have right here is, let me try to get to it. And so I can have a good understanding here. So if you guys go and look at July the 26th, Dominique Wade question. And pretty much the question is, what happens if you put an offer out and it turns out that the rehab is more and you already put your offer out? What happens next? And you guys can go back and look at that question. It's in, I'll just sum it up, I think. But it's in the July the 26th post. But it's pretty much asking, about the closing costs and the assignment fee. So, pretty much this is how it goes. So, you have the ARV. You have the points ARV time 0.7, right, which is a 30% market discount, and then minus the rehab equals your offer, all right, and that's your offer. And so now if you're a wholesaler, you can add your 5 to 10 grand into that formula. So it'll be ARV time 0.7 minus the rehab minus your wholesale equals your offer price. And if you do that, that should leave enough meat on the bone for you to get paid your wholesale fee, to make the flipper want to buy the property because there's meat on the bone. So your goal is to, You can add your wholesale fee in that formula, or you can just have the formula, which is the ARV time 0.7 minus the rehab equals your offer price, and you can take out your wholesale out of that number. Either or will work. It just depends on the house and how much meat is on the bone, how much profit is available. All right. And another thing, your question was, how about the closing costs? So when you sit down with the seller and you do your ARV times 0.7 minus the rehab equals your maximum allowed offer, right? And let's say that offer is $100,000 that you can offer this person. All right. Your goal is to first try to make the seller pay for their own closing costs. That's your goal. All right. Your goal is to try to make the seller pay for its own closing costs. And let's say the house, right, you're buying it for $100,000 or you're selling it for, he's selling it for $100,000 and this is just all estimate. That's the closing cost of $5,000 to $6,000. All right. So try to make the seller pay for their own closing costs. And you can pay for your own closing costs, which will be the new buyer. So when you negotiate your deal, you always start off with the seller paying their own closing costs. And you pay your own closing costs, which will be the flipper or the your investor you're going to wholesale it to. They will pay their own closing costs. And that's usually fine. That's okay and dandy. But, and so the seller will have to get his $100,000, right? Because that's what we say we're going to offer. And then let's say it's the $5,000 or $6,000. They're going to have to minus $5,000 or $6,000 off of that $100,000 one. And what they actually net is $95,000 to $94,000. And so they didn't really net the $100,000. They got $100,000, but they had to pay their own closing costs, which is property tax, and you know all that other stuff that comes with closing costs. You gave them $100,000, but they netted about, you know, $94,000 to $95,000 because of closing costs. And that's totally fine. So when you sit down and do your offer, you always want to start off with the seller paying their own, you paying your own. And when I say you paying your own is you're going to have your new buyer pay their closing costs, which is usually going to be less than what the seller has. All right. And that's usually $3,000 to $4,000 usually for the buyer. All right. And that's totally fine. That's totally fine to do. And if somehow the seller said, no, I need to net $100,000. I want to walk away with $100,000. Then the next step for you to do is you're going to try to negotiate with the new buyer, paying maybe half of the closing costs. So let's say that half, let's say your wholesale was $10,000, right? That's your wholesale assignment fee, and the seller wants $100,000 because they're not paying closing costs because they want to net $100,000. Then your goal is to And you're potentially making $10,000 off of this deal. Your goal will be to find a buyer and let them know that they have to pay closing costs and push it on the new buyer. And if the and if you have the ARV 0.7 minus the rehab, it's gonna be a nice offer for them to still pay closing costs. And if you have issues with the buyer, the new buyer that you found paying the closing costs, then you can divide the closing costs between you and the new buyer. So you can share that profit. So if you were making $10,000 off your wholesale, what about sharing that $5,000 of closing costs? He takes $2,500 or she takes $2,500, you take $2,500. Everything is negotiable. The goal for this is to make the deal work and close. Never get too stuck on a number. All right, let's say you have $10,000 in your head and you're like, oh man, I see $10,000. I'm about to make $10,000. I'm make $10,000. And 2 days before closing, somebody says, you know what? I don't want to do this. I want this now. And somehow that $10,000 just disappeared and you're only getting $4,000. And that's the only way you're going to get $4,000 is if the deal closes, take the $4,000 and move out. You know, you don't, you rather make something and move out and do another property. Don't get too clouded on the numbers. As you get better and better, it's going to get, it's going to be okay. But, you know, if you had $10,000 in your profit and the buyer says, you know what, I can't pay this whole $7,000 closing costs or $5,000 closing costs. Okay, how about we split it? Or how about we do 70-30? Or how about we do it, 50-50? Come up with something that works, but don't get too stuck on this is what I'm going to get and I need to stick to it, because if you do that, you end up not getting anything. And what is $5,000 than $0? I'd rather take the $5,000 and run. Or I take the $4,000 and run. Because when you take the $4,000 and run, you, again, have been a connector to the seller, the new buyer, and you got paid $4,000, $5,000, $6,000, $8,000, $7,000, maybe the whole full $10,000. Because when you offer the buyer to pay their all the closing costs, he said, okay, that's no problem. Plus your wholesale fee is in there. There's enough cushion in there to have the wholesale fee, whether you put it in the formula, and that's the ARV time 0.7 minus the rehab minus your wholesale fee is your offer price. Or if you do ARV time 0.7 minus rehab equals your offer price, you can still take out your wholesale $5,000 to $10,000 out of there because there's enough cushion on the bones for that. All right? And then when it comes to the closing costs, you always want to make sure you start off with the buyer paying their own closing costs, making it very clear. You know, we have our own closing costs. You guys have your own closing costs. We'll cover our own. This is a cash offer. You cover your own closing costs. And if that works, you're winning. Then the new buyer pays their closing costs. The seller pays theirs. Everybody win. You got your $10,000. If the seller is like, no, I want my $100,000. I want a net $100,000. Then you're not going to say, oh, I can't do that. You're going to say, okay, no problem. Then you're going to take that wholesale, that closing cost over to the buyer and tell the buyer, hey, this is what the closing cost is going to be. And if the buyer says, I can do that, then there you go. You still got your $10,000. But if the buyer comes back and say, man, that $6,000 is too much, man. Okay, how about 70-30? How about 80-20? And then you can come down. How about 50, you know, 50-50? We split it in half. Make that, you know, $6,000 into three apiece. Now that three apiece, you only get profit $7,000. Is that okay? Yes. Move on. So hopefully that helps you out right there. The goal is to make the deal close. If you can't close your deal, you won't get paid. And the goal for this is to connect people, right, and get paid. You want to add value, and naturally you're going to get paid. You know, there's a quote that says money is the natural consequence of delivering value. If you add value by being that connector to the buyer and the seller, naturally, you're going to get paid that $10,000 or that $7,000 or whatever you negotiate. But get it and go. Add more value to someone else. Don't try to squeeze every last penny out of one deal, because you might have someone be salty and never want to do business with you again. So every people you interact with, add the value, listen to them, close the deal, naturally get paid, move on to the next one. And you never know, that same seller comes back and call you again, which has happened to me many times. I have another property I want to sell. And now, because you only made $7,000 off the other one, they just gave you another property. Now you made $15,000 off of it. All because you listened to that seller, you listened to that buyer, you connected those two together, and you didn't focus too hard on your wholesale amount and what you wanted. And you try to make everyone fit around that circle. All right. So hopefully that helped a lot. Let me try to read your question, and hopefully I did answer that. And that's what I got for you on your question. But let me see if I can read this thing here, because I want to make sure I got it. I'm very familiar with the formula. What do you add? But do you add closing costs and your assignment fee in the formula? And I think I just answered that for you right there earlier. So if somehow, right, let's say somehow you had a $40,000 repair cost. You had a $40,000 repair cost in your formula, right? So you had the ARV again, time 0.7, minus 40,000, right, equals, and let's just go with your 100,000. And that's what you offer. So one of the things you always want to let the seller know is that this is my offer subject to the inspection, subject for me to verify that this house is going to be $40,000. So When you put your offer on the table to the seller, it's subject to your inspection. And your inspection, here's a clue, here's a golden nugget, all right? Here's a clue, here's a golden nugget. You always want to make sure your inspection, right, is 10 business days. Make it business days, all right? Business days gives you more time. So if you put 7 business days, then 7 business days is a long time. Or 10 business days, that's a long time. But if you only put 7 days, then 7 days can go by really quick, including weekends. But if you put 7 or 10 or 15 business days, it always comes out to your favor, because business days can stretch out your inspection, because weekends does not count, and you can use weekend to get in that property. So if somehow your $40,000, you offered your rehab was $40,000, and you get in the house and you see a $55,000 rehab, then you got to go back to the negotiation table. And when you go back to the negotiation table, before you even got to the table, you told the guy that, or the female, that this $100,000 is based, you know, it's for me to verify on when I do my inspection. If everything works out of how I'm assuming or believe, then this is. So if everything works out, it's based upon your inspection. You know, I'm estimating about $40,000, but, you know, I have to get my guys in there, and hopefully if everything goes well and it's right in that range, I can offer you $100,000 cash. And then you have your inspection, which is that 7 business days, 10 business days, 12 business day. Again, that's all negotiable that you and the seller can come up with, but try to make it business days in your contract, all right? And when you do that, and you go and you get your guys in there to look at your numbers and everything, that's when you can come back now and you can say, you know, we got our numbers. We put it together. I had 3 bids go in there. And, you know, it's actually the rehab and the roof is just a little bit more than I thought and that my team thought. And let's say that $40,000 you estimated is now 45 or 50 grand. Then your offer is going to have to change from that 100 grand to maybe that 95 grand or 90 grand. So if your rehab went up 10 grand from the 40, then you probably need to be at that 90 grand now. And everything else is still the same. So you can always go back to negotiate as long as you tell the seller up front that, you know, I walked the property, everything looks good. I kind of did my numbers. This is my estimate. You know, I got an estimate of what a rehab is. I need to get my team to verify everything, but I'm looking at about 100 grand is what I can possibly give you if everything else match up. And I'm assuming what the rehab is going to be by looking at, you know, what I've already seen and what needs to get done in this home. And we can, you know, be done in this home in about 5 to 7, 12, whatever, how long it's going to take for you to get in there. Business days, I need to get my team in there to verify this can be possible. And we'll sit back down and we'll talk about it. And when you do that, you leave that door halfway open that they understand that hopefully your team goes in and gives you the good news. And if they do give you the good news, then you go ahead and execute that offer at 100 grand and everything else is the same. But if somehow that rehab is so much more, then you got to deliver that bad news. And you got to, when you deliver the bad news about, oh, you know, we thought it was 40 grand, but it turned out to be 50 grand. You know, a couple things I didn't, you know, forecast. They just saw, you know, in the septic area, it's all, you know, messed up. You need a new septic. That's a 10 grand cost. Or, you know, the plumbing had a crack in there. And so now it's going to be 10 grand. So you always want to let them know why it went up. And you can do that however you want, add flavor to it. But you want to let them know that, okay, you know, we sat down, we did everything and had a couple guys go in there and they were all sitting at 50 grand. And because of that and the cost to fix the roof or the septic or the plumbing or the kitchen or the foundation, my new offer, cash offer is going to be XYZ. And if you only went 10 grand, then your offer price should be around that 90 grand now. And these are all just numbers thrown out there. So hopefully that answered your question on, do you go back and negotiate? And the answer is yes. Because if you don't, you're going to get burned. You're going to buy it at the wrong price. It's going to be kind of overpriced. You know, way back when I started, I think on the second flip I did, you know, I came up with a quote, and I have a lot of those quotes, and some of them are corny, but it is what it is. But one of the things I learned after my second or third flip, it was that I started to realize it's so important to be disciplined with that formula that I just mentioned in earlier in podcasts. You know, it's so important for you to be disciplined to stay in those formula, because it protects you. It gives you enough cushion. It gives you enough meat on the bones for you to be okay and get paid, and for you to give the seller meat on the bones, the buyer meat on the bones, and the seller to walk away with a happy smiley face. And one of the quote I came up with is, it takes true discipline. And here you go, I messed it up already. I put, anybody can buy a home. It takes true discipline to buy it at the right price. So anybody can buy a home, but it takes true discipline to buy it at the right price. And that discipline is to understand the formula and make sure you stay within that formula and then make the deal work. And because if you stay within that formula and you're disciplined to make sure those numbers are right and you're not going off emotion, you're going off a formula, because that formula continues to be successful. That's how you can repeat success over and over again. It's by not guessing, hoping, wishing. You have a educated system that can give you the exact same results over and over and over again. But and so the quote was, I realized that anybody can buy a home, but it takes true discipline to buy it at the right price. And that's what you have to master as an entrepreneur. That's what you have to master as a real estate investor. You have to have that discipline to buy it at the right price and not use emotion, not use anything else, but following that discipline formula. Because if you do follow that, the day they sign that contract, that 10 grand, that contract where there's one paper, two paper, three paper, that three paper, which is usually 10 cents, 15, 20 cents. So if you have three pages, you might got a 30 cent paper. The day they signed that paper, that 30 cent just turned into $10,000 or $5,000. My highest wholesale was $65,000, and that's three paper. So, and I think I remember telling one of my friends, I was like, hey, how much do you think this paper is worth? And that was before I got it signed by the seller. And he said, 10 grand, 50, 50, you know, maybe 10, 20, 30 cents. So you're right. It is 30 cents because it may be 5, 10, 15 cents per page, you know? And I said, yeah, it is probably around 30 cents. But in 3 hours from now, 30 cents, three pages, that was 30 cents. But with knowledge and experience, that 30 cents immediately valued $65,000. All because what was written on that paper. See how powerful that is? That is very powerful. That's why knowledge is the new money. Knowledge is the new money, because I can take 30 cents paper into $65,000. I can take a sticky note with the sorry I missed you from the last couple episodes and made 17 grand off of a sticky note. That if you go and ask someone for a sticky note, they might give you for what? Maybe 2 cents, 3 cents? And I took one sticky note and I placed it on a home and put, sorry, I missed you. That was my marketing. And that sticky note of whatever, 5 cents, 10 cents, turned into $16,000 or $17,000. And how did it do that? Because of knowledge. By understanding what to write on that paper. So, again, with that quote, anyone can buy a home, but it takes true discipline to buy it at the right price.
every one of you guys be disciplined. Because the day they sign that paper, you either going to make a profit or you're going to lose money. And as investors, you want to be disciplined the day they sign it. It went from 30 cents to 5 grand, 10 grand, 20 grand, 7 grand, 4 grand. That's the discipline I need you guys to have. So hopefully that answered your question right there. Again, this is Courtney Lindsay. You guys can always find me on here. You guys can find me on Yellow Ribbon Ventures LLC on Facebook, Instagram. You can find me on yellowribbonventures.com. Hopefully this helped you guys a lot. Thank you again. Welcome Dominique Wade onto the podcast. And everyone else that's listening, thank you guys for clicking play. If you are getting knowledge from this episode, again, be helpful and pass the information on to someone else. Because remember, knowledge is the new money. You know, there was an old saying back in the day, right? When my mom and probably my grandmother and everyone else, time is money, time is money. And that is the manual way of thinking. Time is money was back then when our grandparents and before then. In this world, 2018, knowledge is the new money. That's why you have these 17-year-olds on Facebook, Instagram, Kylie Jenner from the Kardashian. They're kicking behind because knowledge is the new money. You have to gain the knowledge, whatever field you're in. And if you have enough and you implement that knowledge, it becomes a new money. And you don't have to put in a lot of time. You don't have to put in 40 years to retire. That's back in the day when time was money. And so if you're saying time is money, get that out of your mind. Get that out of your words. Get that out of your thinking. Because remember again, what you say, what you think becomes your reality. Start thinking. Knowledge is the new money. And if you don't have enough money, you need more knowledge to create that money. You need to take that 30-cent paper, 15, 20, 45-cent paper, into 5, 10, 20, 30, 40, 60 grand. And you only can do that with knowledge. Again, guys, thank you for clicking play. Talk to you guys soon. Bye.